This is now the conclusion of this message from part A.
What the fathers are doing has a direct effect upon the children. That's what that proverb is talking about. And so we're thinking in terms of generational sins and curses. What the fathers, the mothers are doing in their life do have the direct effect upon their children's lives. It's very powerful. I want to read a quote from Derek Prince's book, Blessing or Curse, You Can Choose. And you're probably familiar with Derek Prince, and you probably even have a copy of his book. If you don't have a copy of this book, you need to get a copy. I highly recommend it. And I happen to spot copies right over on the table over here. Okay? So you need to get a copy of this book and read it, because he talks about the blessings and the curses. Now, this is what he says as a way of describing what a curse is. Sometimes deal with people who... Now we're back in picture. Okay. Walking all over my wire here. All right. I find that I need to explain what a curse is. So I've come to sort of that conclusion. I don't want to assume anything anymore. Somebody comes in and sits down. I need to make sure we're on the same page. They're understanding what I'm saying. So let me just read what Derek Prince says about a curse. Just listen to what he says about a curse. He says, a curse could also be likened to a long evil arm stretched out from the past. It rests upon you with a dark, oppressive force that inhibits the full expression of your personality. You never feel completely free to be yourself. You sense that you have potential within you that is never fully developed. You always expect more of yourself than you're able to achieve. Or, again, that long evil arm may have the effect of tripping you up as you walk. Your way seems clear before you, but from time to time you stumble. Yet you cannot see what it was you stumbled over. For some uncanny reason, the moments at which you stumble are those when you are within reach of attaining some long-sought goal, yet your goal eludes you. Actually, the word uncanny could be likened to a red warning light. You experience events or situations for which you can find no natural or logical reason. It seems that there is some force at work that is not completely subject to all the usual laws of nature. There's one word that sums up the effects of a curse. Frustration. You reach a certain level of achievement in your life, and everything looks set for a bright future. You have all the obvious qualifications, and yet something goes wrong. You start all over again and reach the same level as before. But once again, things go wrong. After this happens several times, you realize it is the pattern of your life. Yet, you cannot see any obvious reason for it. It's a curse working in your life. Now, if that sounds familiar in regard to your own life, it may be that a generational curse is really what's at work in you. Now, I got to, again, thinking in terms of this idea of a generational curse being present day. I didn't want to get in that mindset of, well, that's all about it in the Bible. That was just things that happened years ago in the Bible days. But I began to realize this is present day. This happens today. It's going on today. There's a family that you know, that our whole country knows, that even the media has in the newspapers labeled, this family has a curse. It's the Kennedys. You remember our President John Fitzgerald Kennedy? That Kennedy family. Now, there are those that are saying there's a Kennedy curse. And so I kind of looked up about the Kennedy family. Some of this you probably have heard about. But let me just kind of walk you through this briefly concerning the Kennedy family. You know, the father of John, our president, was Joseph Kennedy. Okay? And then he had his sons and his daughters. The oldest, the firstborn, was called Joe Jr. Well, during World War II, Joe Jr. joined the service, and he was a pilot. He flew bombers from England across the channel over into Germany. Well, in 1944, he was flying one of these bombers across the English Channel, his plane exploded and he was killed. So Joe Jr. is dead in 1944. They had a daughter named Rosemary. When Rosemary was born, she was born, I guess what you might just simply say, she was retarded. And with the status of the Kennedy family, that didn't set too well with Joseph. He wanted a daughter that was normal. And so he had a doctor who performed a lobotomy on Rosemary. It failed. She was worse than she was when she was born. She spends the rest of her natural life institutionalized. There's another daughter named Kathleen. World War II is over. 1948, she's going to be going to France. She's flying in a private plane from England over into France. The plane crashes. Kathleen is killed. We now have firstborn son Joe dead. Rosemary's institutionalized. Kathleen dead in a plane crash. 1963, Dallas, Texas. John Kennedy is president. Lee Harvey Oswald pulls the trigger. Our president is assassinated. He's dead. 1968, California, Democratic primary. Robert Kennedy just won that primary. Expectations are high. He's going to be the candidate to run for president. Sirhan Sirhan walks in with a .22 pistol and assassinates Robert Kennedy. We've got Teddy left. In 1964, Ted Kennedy was in a plane crash, but he didn't get killed in this plane crash. Several years later, he was in a car wreck. He ran off the bridge at Chappaquiddick, went down into the water. He gets out, but a lady drowns in his car. So he had his close calls. He's still around. You kind of wonder why. So here's the family. We have Joe dead, Robert dead, Ted dead, Kathleen dead, and Rosemary was in Tuscaloosa, and it was just this past year that she passed away. What a family legacy for Joe. Joseph. But now, that's just the first generation. Let's look at the next generation, the sons of these Roberts and Johns, okay? Well, Robert's son David, in 1984, died of a drug overdose. There's a grandson dead. And then in 1997, Michael Kennedy, another son of Robert, is dead as a result of a skiing accident. Two sons, two grandsons are dead. And then one that I'm sure you're familiar with in 1999, John Jr. in a plane off of Martha's Vineyard, went down. He's dead in a plane crash. So here it is, that the family seems to still have this sense of people dying off. And it all comes from, remember, it started somewhere. Let's start with Joseph. Okay, he's the father. If these men, these women are playing out the generational curse of Joseph, what about him? Well, there's a couple of interesting things about Joseph that we can recall. One has to do with alcohol. During Prohibition, he was a bootlegger. Can we say that term? Yeah, that's, is that descriptive as to what his lifestyle was like? He made a lot of money selling liquor illegally. And then, when Prohibition passed, he was the first to get a liquor license to sell gin and scotch here in America. He stayed in the liquor business. Then he moved into the stock market. He did some things in the stock market that are now considered not only unethical, but illegal. But back then it wasn't against the law. And so he made a lot of money through the stock market. Franklin Roosevelt was president. He said, you know, you can't beat them, join them. So he took Joseph and made him the chairman of the Securities and Exchange Commission to head up the stock market. Put him in there. It's like putting the wolf in the hen house. But there he was. He had that position. He had the president's ear. A few years later, we find him now becoming appointed ambassador to Great Britain in 1937. He goes to Great Britain as the ambassador. But you see, there's something about Joseph that just isn't right. He's anti-Semitic. People didn't realize that or understand that. But all of a sudden it comes out. Because Hitler in Europe, of course, is coming to power. He's doing what he's doing in Europe. And Joseph Kennedy opened his mouth one time too many. He actually spoke in favor of Hitler. Approved of his politics. With that, Franklin Roosevelt fired him. Jerked him out of Britain as ambassador. He was brought home in disgrace. He has a stroke, and they have to wheel him around in a wheelchair for the rest of his life. Anyway, from this man's life comes the legacy of his children that we see and know in our as contemporaries in our lives. So here it is. There's families all around us. In their own way, they're going through the generational sins and the curses being played out. For some, it may not be plane crashes. It may be alcoholism or drugs. You know, it may be immoral activities of homosexuality and pornography. It could be anything that's playing out as a devastating sin in that family's life. Okay, now, that's all the bad news. I've got to give you some good news. Is there any hope? When you look at what these sins and these curses are like and how powerfully devastating they are, you wonder, is there any hope for our family? Any hope for my life because I'm suffering from the effects of this curse in my own life? Well, the good news is, yes, there is hope. Now, God explained the fact that there is sin and there's a penalty for that sin. You have to face that and deal with that. But then He also comes and He gives us a remedy of how to deal with this. How we can break the curses in our life. All right, turn to Galatians chapter 3, if you would. Galatians chapter 3. Read verse 13 and verse 14. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 and verse 14. So Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, in order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, what the Apostle Paul is pointing out here is that Jesus Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now, what we're seeing here in this verse of Scripture is what has become known as the exchanged life. The idea that at the cross, an exchange was made that allows you to receive what you need in your life. Now, this is a truth, a principle that actually comes back from Isaiah chapter 53. And you're familiar with that. Let me just read from Isaiah 53, verses 4, 5, and 6. Isaiah prophesies and he says, surely our griefs, which also means sicknesses, surely our sicknesses He Himself bore, and our sorrows, which also means pains, He carried, yet we ourselves esteemed Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastising for our well-being fell upon Him. And by His scourging, we are healed. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on Him. See, it all has to do with what was wrong in your life. Your sin, your transgression, your iniquity, your sickness, your pain, what was wrong in your life was transferred over to Jesus Christ there on the cross. And in exchange for all this that was wrong and suffering and pain and sadness and sorrow in your life, in exchange for that, He gives you forgiveness for that sin. He gives you healing for that sickness. He gives you deliverance from that bondage. He gives you freedom from the curses that are on your life. And so we need to then just simply do what? We appropriate the provisions of the cross is what we do. When we go to the cross and we see what Jesus Christ has done for us, we apply that truth in our life, then we see the results of that take place in our life. It's just like when we were born again. We come to a place where we understood we were sinners. We needed forgiveness of our sins. But in order to get that forgiveness, we had to go to the cross and understand that Jesus died on that cross to pay the penalty. See, the wages of sin is death. And without somebody paying the penalty for that death, you've got to face the consequences of sin. We believe that Jesus took our place. He died for our sins. And when we put our faith, our trust in that truth and we apply that to us, and we ask God to forgive us of our sins, what does He do? Forgiveness comes. There's His grace, His love, His mercy. We receive that. Same thing with healing. We place our sicknesses on Him. We see that He took upon Himself all of our sickness and disease. And so by doing that, we don't have to keep it. We understand that He took it. We then receive His healing. When it comes to curses, the same principle is true. Those curses on our life that have been passed down to us from our fathers, our mothers, our grandparents and great-grandparents, those curses on our life, the Scripture says Jesus bore those when He hung there on the cross. What we do now is make a personal application of that truth. We identify with that truth. Yes, Jesus bore these family curses. I now see that as a reality and a truth, that they're off of me and on Him. And I then receive the freedom, the deliverance from the bondage and the power of those curses working in my life. So it's that kind of exchange, that transfer that takes place in our life. Now, as you've been sitting here this morning, the Holy Spirit's been speaking into our hearts and lives. It's kind of like for some of us, He kind of replays our family history for us. He begins to kind of show us some things as to, that's what's been going wrong with our family all these years. I just thought we were weird. You know, you just kind of think about your family problems. You begin to see how alcoholism has run through your family, or drug addiction, or gambling. You know, you see how that's run through your family, or you see where there's immorality of some kind with the homosexuality, the adultery that's been there, you know, the pornography. You just see other things as mental illness or emotional problems. You just kind of see the manic depression or the bipolar kind of stuff as, well, that's just it's our family, you know? And you just see the fear or the anxiety that grips some of your family members. And you see the obsessive compulsiveness or that hyperactivity that, you know, ADD kind of thing. You know, our psychiatrists and psychologists are great at labels, aren't they? They quickly identify this syndrome, this behavior, or misbehavior in some way. And so we then just say, well, that's the way it's going to be for our family. We just are like that. Well, listen, it's a curse on your family is what it is. It's been passed down from generation to generation. And no, you don't have to accept what a psychiatrist says or some medical doctor says. They just say, take this prescription, it'll help you feel better. Come back and see me and pay me another $100 next week. You know? That's all they have to offer. No hope of ever ending what's going on in your family and your life. But God comes and says, there's a way to bring it to a complete end and to stop it now in your life and to enjoy wholeness and healing and health. You know, that sickness that's been going on in your family. Could, you know, doctors ask for a medical history. Has anybody in your family ever had cancer? You know, that's what they're looking up your family tree about. And you can say, yeah, well, we had this cancer and this cancer. What about heart disease? Anybody in your family ever have heart disease? You know, heart attack. Look, you can do that. You can look at your own family. You can see who's been sick generation after generation. And what you need to know now, the Holy Spirit says, that is a curse on your family. Now, you've got a choice. You can die with that curse on you, pass it down to your children, let them die with the same curse, or you can take it into your hands, so to speak, right now, through the power of God, and end it. That's what you can do. So as you look at your family, as the Holy Spirit just lays the family history out in front of you, and you begin to see those patterns, those cycles, those things that seem to repeat, just understand, there's a spiritual dynamic going on behind all of this. No pill or capsule will stop it. God's remedy is spiritual in nature. It's through Jesus Christ and what He's already done for you. Now, for my benefit, and for benefit of those that come and we're talking about this, I kind of do that little pastor thing. I come up with five words that begin with the same letter. You know, it kind of helps me remember. So I'm going to give you five words to kind of give you my five steps as to what I do, and I want to share with somebody how we're going to pray and deal with the curse and break the curse in their life. The first word is confess. That's the C, the confess. When we look at a generational sin, we find that its root cause is based in sin. There's an iniquity involved. A rebellious, deliberate, willful act of disobedience on the part of somebody, somebody in the family, somebody in the ancestry. To deal with sin, you have to confess it as sin, you have to repent of that sin, and you have to receive forgiveness of that sin. I mean, that's the biblical standard. You don't get around sin any other way. You've got to start with confessing and repentance and being forgiven. So that's where we start. You have to identify the sin. Now, when you look up the family tree, you're going to need to understand it started somewhere. You may not know who did what, when, and where. But you can understand it did happen. And so we can renounce that sin in the life of one of our ancestors. When it comes to you, you already played into this iniquity and this sin. It's yours now. You've got to repent of that sin and ask God's forgiveness of that sin in your life. So it starts there. You've got to recognize your own role and responsibility. Now, again, sometimes people are in this denial, blame game. Wait a minute. No, it wasn't my fault. It was their fault. You know, they kind of cast the real responsibility off of themselves. But no, it comes to you too. It starts there. So confess. Next, it has to do with cancel. Once we understand that the sin is dealt with, we can now cancel the curse. And to cancel the curse is, in the name of Jesus, we just break it. Just like a chain, you break the link so that it's not connecting you any longer to whoever in the past started this generational chain of events in your life. So you cancel that curse in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Its power is now broken off of you. You become free and released from its impact on your life. So we deal with the curse. Next is command. So we confess, we cancel, now we command. A demon is linked up with that sin and with that curse. There's an evil spirit that comes in and identifies with the very sin that is being played out in your family's history. And he's there to encourage that sin. He makes it easy. The temptations are there. He lays down the whole groundwork and the scenario so that you fall into the trap. It's there. He's there to encourage that curse to become such that it torments you and you suffer its consequence and pain in your life. There's an evil spirit right there. So what you do now is command that demon to leave. The sin is dealt with. That's his right for being there. The curse is now canceled. Again, that does not give him any ground to stand on. So now he has to leave. You command him to go in Jesus' name. He's out of the picture. Confess, cancel, command. Now, collapse. All right? Collapse. Now, what's going to collapse? Well, a stronghold has been established in your life. That stronghold is the place from which the sin, the curse, the demon have been working out of. Right? They've been living in this, so to speak, this protected stronghold area within your life, which really is that place in your life that has established all the lifestyle, patterns, those thoughts, that way of living and doing things that you thought were normal in your family and in your life. That stronghold identifies that personality, if you please, the characteristics of all that this curse made up for you and your family. So now we've got the sin out of the way, the curse out of the way, the demon out of the way. Let's destroy the walls of this stronghold, basically. We command in the name of Jesus the stronghold to be torn down. That those lifestyles, patterns, and cycles, and thoughts, and attitudes, all those things that have been there so much a part of us, we destroy that now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now comes to number five, claim. What do we claim? There you go. We are a member of another family that does not have any generational curses. But rather, our Father brings generational blessings into our life. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 tells us that we are blessed with every spiritual blessing. And we need to be enjoying every spiritual blessing. We may be getting a few of those, but because of curses in our life, those curses are actually acting as a barrier or a hindrance, inhibiting and keeping the blessings from really flowing in our life. So now we want to claim what is ours from our Heavenly Father. The blessings that He will now bring into our life. So we claim that. We enjoy that. So that's just the five little steps that I like to guide a person through as we seek to just minister and see those curses removed and destroyed and for them to enjoy the freedom, the wholeness, and the healing that God has for them. And it may be that that's where you are today. There's something in your life that the Holy Spirit has now just pointed out very clearly and plainly. It's a curse on my life. I see this in my father. I see this in my own son and my daughter. It's playing out. I just thought it was something else going on. No, it's this spiritual dynamic of a sin, an iniquity, creating the curse that is now causing the suffering in your life. Now, we're going to pray these five steps here in just a moment. I'd like to walk through those just for your benefit. Now, I know we're dealing with a lot of ministers here. You deliver, are in deliverance ministry. And you probably have dealt with people with curses in their life. But I want you to know, I have been in ministry for a number of years myself, but I find out there are still areas of my life that seem to surface, and I have to deal with them. I was at a meeting at one time, went there for a totally different reason and purpose. You know, you go to some meetings just to be blessed, just to enjoy, just to be there. Well, while I was there, God exposed a generational curse in my life. Whoa, look at this. It had to do with the Masons. Turns out that my grandfather on my mother's side and my grandfather on my father's side, they were Masons. And what something was happening in my life was a direct result of their Masonic involvement. And as before that meeting was over, I got delivered and set free from the generational curse on my life. So we can be in ministry for a number of years, but all of a sudden here comes. The Holy Spirit pulls this out and says, look at this. We've got to deal with this now. And that may be exactly where you are this morning. The Holy Spirit's ready. You need to be ready to deal with that area of your life that is bringing the pain, the hurt, the anguish that you've been suffering from. Oh, let's just stand to our feet together. I'm going to begin with that first step of confess. Now, I cannot confess your sin, can I? And vice versa, you cannot confess mine. So you want to do that for you, yourself. And so you're going to need to pray this prayer. I'm just going to kind of just lead us through the steps here, but you've got to put your own words to this. You've got to do your own praying. And God's going to do the rest. It's an exchange. It's an appropriation of what Jesus Christ has already done for you. Let's take full advantage of what our Lord has done. Oh, Father, we come here this morning realizing that You have given us the truth in a very clear way to let us know that sin does have a consequence, far-reaching. It moves from our lives into the lives of our families, Lord. And God, it may be that right here this morning that there's a father, a mother, a son, or a daughter that is suffering the effects of a generational curse. Or maybe even is the very one that has instituted and begun the curse and is passing it down to their own children, Lord. But here this morning, we want to see an end to that. We want to see a complete freedom and deliverance come in the lives of these this morning. So God, we first come to You realizing we've got to confess sin. And so we confess that sin that's in our lives. So that's what you do right now. You confess whatever it is, the sin that's there that you've been involved in. You just bring it to the Lord and you just expose it for what it really is. No more denial. Be honest and just explain it as it is. You have been involved in sin deliberately. And then you just repent of that sin. You ask God's forgiveness of that sin. God, we thank You for that forgiveness. We thank You that You come. When we repent, You come. And You give us that forgiveness. And Lord, we know that an ancestor of ours somewhere up our family tree started this with a sin in his or her life. We renounce that sin now in Jesus' name. And what was done, when it was done, how it was done, and all that was done, we renounce that sin. We know that it was wrong. We have no identity with that. We have no link with that. We desire that no longer. We confess our sin in our life. We repent of it. We receive Your forgiveness now. We thank You for that, Lord. And now, God, because of that sin, a curse came into my life and into our family. And so right now, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to cancel that generational curse. Now, name it for what it is. Identify it. If it's alcoholism or drugs, if it's some sort of mental, emotional problem, if it's a sickness or a disease, if it's poverty, if it's suicide, whatever it is, you name it. I cancel this generational curse now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I see it destroyed, that its power over me is now brought to a complete end. It's void. It's null. It no longer has any impact upon me. I break its link between me and my father or my mother, my ancestors. No longer any connection here between me and them. I am free from that curse and its power in my life now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you just break it. You have that authority through Jesus Christ. Now there's a demon that we want to get rid of. And so we address that evil spirit that comes with that sin. You identify the demon. If the sin has to do with alcoholism, we've got a demon that links with that alcohol. If it has to do with mental illness, we have a demon that links up with that mental illness. If it's a physical illness, same thing. So you give him that name, that identity, and you bind him in Jesus' name. You tell him he can't stay any longer, that the sin is gone, the curse is broken, he has no reason or right to stay in your life. And so now, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we command you to leave. We command you, in the sense that your power is now broken in our life, your right and reason to stay is gone, you have no authority, no ability, go in Jesus' name. Leave my life. You tell him to go. He can't stay. You resist him. He goes from you in Jesus' name. Now we want to just tear down that stronghold that's been there. So right now, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we come against the very stronghold that became that place for the sin, the curse, the demon to stay, and it's established all the lifestyle patterns and habits and personalities and cycles. We destroy all that in our life. So right now, all the old patterns are broken. All the old lifestyles are ended. All the old thought patterns are done away with. All those things have been going on and on. We thought was normal is no longer normal, but abnormal. It's gone in Jesus' name. And I just speak a whole new lifestyle into your life. I speak what God wants you to do. A whole new sense of looking at life as a way of His life, an abundant life, a victorious Christian life. You have good thoughts, His thoughts. Your attitudes are positive and uplifting. Your whole pattern has been rearranged and changed so that you walk out a life in the Spirit now. And Lord, we now claim what is rightfully ours by virtue of being Your children. Thank You, Father, for those blessings that are ours. Oh God, we know the curses have been working and hindering, but now, Lord, they're gone. We receive Your blessings upon us, Lord. We thank You for those blessings, every spiritual blessing, all those blessings that come as a result of Abraham, Lord. We just want to receive those that are rightfully ours, God. And we thank You for this. We receive this. Thank You, Father, that I am now going to pass down blessings to my children, to my grandchildren, into their lives. They're blessed. They're blessed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I praise You and I thank You for this, Lord. So God, we glorify You. We thank You for the victory that is sure, that is real. I thank You for healing and health and wholeness in all of the lives. Healing that You brought into families. The restoration of relationships that we see here between husbands and wives, between fathers and daughters and mothers and sons and the parents and the children, these relationships are healed, wholeness, and health in every way, Lord. We rejoice and we thank You for this. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says, Amen.
This is the end of this. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.